Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ online ministry. Services are presented on YouTube, Facebook, and our website 1 week following recording. This week's message is titled Mother's Day. The scripture reading is 1 Thessalonians 2, 1-7. Thank you to Amy, Alan, and Dawn for being part of the video.
We're going to begin our time together with a few announcements and a word of prayer. I do want to honor the mothers among us and out in our electronic audience. So thank you for just being yourselves. That's a pretty rad thing for you to be. Also, I want to acknowledge that there are a lot of people for whom today is really, really hard for a lot of reasons, and I'm going to include them in my prayer in just a moment. We want to wish Dorothy and Mark a happy birthday this coming week, and I want to honor and recognize those who were involved in the refugee committee. If there's anyone here who was involved in helping get them, any of the families we've sponsored, if you could stand so we can honor you. And if you don't stand, then we'll just think positive thoughts about you in our heads. So thank you very much for that. We received a thank you letter from the Mennonite Central Committee this week to thank and honor those who were involved in that. So thank you to them. So Lynn and Dave are back now, but they were, for the first time in quite some time, able to go down to the States to visit Lynn's family. And this is Lynn and her cousin Jenny. And Jenny sends her thanks for everyone's prayers, and it was just, I'm so glad they got to go and see her. And so anyways, welcome back to you, and thank you to those, to everyone who's been praying for Jenny and her health as she has been recovering. Speaking of people who need our prayers, Gloria moved to McNally House this week for palliative care. She, of course, being Gloria, sent me an email this morning with a list of things that she's been thinking about and worrying about and wanting us to know so that the taps in the kitchen don't leak. And so she is, even as she is dealing with all the things she is dealing with, she is thinking of us, and we are thinking of her and Jim and Amber as well. So please continue to keep them in your prayers in a very, very difficult time. So I'd ask you to stand with me as we go to God in prayer now. Lord, thank you for this time that we can spend together and turn our thoughts towards you. Thank you to you and your son for bringing us together. And we're so glad to be your family scattered all around the world from and in various different places. God, we ask for your comfort on those who are finding this Mother's Day very difficult. We ask that you would be a comfort to them and a strength, and we thank you for the example that mothers have set to us, and for this day that we can honor them particularly. God, we are very, very aware of Gloria right now as she is facing her hospice care, and we pray for your strength and comfort for her. We thank you for the example she is to so many and the selfless way in which she serves. God, we think particularly of her family right now. I don't have any good words to say that will come close to that comfort that I know you can give. So we ask for your love to surround them right now. As we turn our thoughts to praising you and to being together, we ask that what we have to say, have to sing, pray, is honoring you and meets with your joy and is what you would have us be doing. It's in Jesus' name that we pray now. Amen.
Good morning. I think most of you know that my day job is I work at a high school, and one of the things I do there is I'm a guidance counselor. And I would say most of you know that because most of you, I am your guidance counselor. So that is a helpful thing. I was thinking this week about May in high school, particularly May in grade 12. May in grade 12 is a stressful season. Where my grade 12 is at? Can I get a, yeah. May in grade 12 is a stressful season. May in grade 12 is a waiting season. You applied for university way back in October or November, and you will hear soon, but not yet. And it is hard to wait. It is hard to wait to know what is coming next. It's not your only waiting season. You will have other waiting seasons. And some of you are like, I don't even remember waiting that season. But some of you are waiting for other things. If you are under the age of, I'm gonna say 10, you are waiting for your next birthday. You are waiting real hard for your next birthday. If you are over the age of 10, you're probably not so anticipating your next birthday, but you might be waiting for something else. You might be waiting for something as simple as supply chain to open up or this pandemic to end. Or you might be waiting for a harder thing, like test results or a space in long-term care. We have a lot of waiting throughout our lives, and we see that throughout the Bible as well. We see the Israelites in and out of captivity and in and out of slavery and wandering in the wilderness, not for years, not for months, but for decades and for generations, they are waiting. And then we get to the end of the Old Testament and we're like, finally, the waiting is over. And we have this long, silent 400-year period between the Testaments where they are waiting for the Messiah. And then finally the Messiah comes and they're like, whew, we are done with waiting. And he dies and he is resurrected and he says, I'm going away and I'll be right back. I'm coming back for you. And we are still waiting for that coming back. When you read the letters that were written in the early chronologically in the New Testament, Paul says things like, don't get married, don't buy property. Like, he's coming back anytime now. And then you read the letters that he wrote 25 years later, and he's like, yeah, you might want to get on with those things. We maybe misread this timeline. I think from this, I take two things. God is telling an incredible story. He is unfolding an incredible story. He is the master storyteller, and we see that throughout all of history, and we see it in the way that Jesus taught, that he is a storyteller. But this story is not unfolding on my timeline. His time is not my time. His timeline is not my timeline, and it is not unfolding the way I want it to unfold. And the second thing that I know for sure is I am not the main character of this story. I am not. I am one of 8 billion people on the planet right now, and it is not revolving around me. So I am a bit part waiting in the wings for my line and for my cue, and sometimes that wait is long, and sometimes it feels like forever, and sometimes it's generations. But it's not about us. And this story is gonna unfold with or without us playing our part, but God asks us to play that part, and sometimes he asks us to wait. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for the story that you are unfolding, and we thank you for the parts of that story that we've seen, and for the parts of the story that we are maybe starting to understand. But God, we also thank you for the parts of the story that have nothing to do with us, that we will not see or know within our lifetime. God, we thank you that you include us in this, and we ask for your help to be patient while we wait, as this unfolds, while we wait for your return. God, we pray for your return, and we pray that you will come back and that this story will come to its conclusion, but in your way and in your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
The scripture reading today is 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 to 7. You know, brothers and sisters, that our visit to you was not without results. We had previously suffered and had been treated outrageously in Philippi, as you know. But with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in the face of strong opposition. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as those approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please people, but God, who tests our hearts. You know we never use flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We are not looking for praise from people and not from you or anyone else, even though as apostles of Christ, we could have asserted our authority. Instead, we're like young children among you, just as a nursing mother cares for her children.
I want to say happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers. And I came across an article written way back in 1921 called The Watcher. And it's about moms. It goes this way. She always leaned to watch for us, anxious if we were late. In winter, by the window. In summer, by the gate. And though we mocked her tenderly, who had such foolish care, the long way home would seem more safe because we knew she waited there. Her thoughts were all so full of us. She never could forget. And so I think that where she is, she must be watching yet, waiting till we come home to her, anxious if we're late, watching from heaven's window, leaning from heaven's gate. In the mid-1700s, there was an older saintly woman who everyone called Mama Newton. She was a lady that all the children in the neighborhood wanted as their mother. She had hair like a halo of silver, hands worn with calluses, and cheeks that were stained by tears. Every day and every night, you could find Mama Newton crying and praying over her washtub in a room of poverty for her son, John. John Newton. John had run away from home as a rebellious teenager to become a sailor, and John had become an ungodly, wicked man who was disowned by his father and everyone else who knew him because he was so vile. Yet day and night, Mama Newton kept praying that God would save and use her wayward boy. She believed in only two things: the power of prayer, and the conversion of her son. God, one day, answered the prayer of Mama Newton by routing a miracle in the heart of her son, John Newton. And as a result, John Newton, the drunken sailor, became John Newton, the sailor preacher, who at age 54 penned the Christian national anthem that we all know, the song Amazing Grace. God greatly used John Newton to reach thousands, including a man by the name of Thomas Scott, who with his voice and pen was used by God to lead thousands of people to Christ. Including among them was a man by the name of William Cowper, who penned the immortal words and a song that we know. There is a fountain filled with blood, which has brought thousands to the one who died at Calvary. All this because of a believing, godly mother and her washtub prayers. Ask mothers when they pray all throughout the day, whether putting a load of laundry in, drying, doing this, doing that. The prayers of so many of our women in this congregation has been amazing, and I think it has wrought miracles on many occasions. The great Abraham Lincoln said, "Behind every great man is a great mother." Barb gave me this little quote this past week, and it was lovely, written by H.W. Beecher. It says this, "There is no friendship, no love like that of the parent for the child." And I know that's not true for everyone, but that certainly is our goal. And so I got to be nostalgic this past week. I try to live in the present moment, but I became nostalgic thinking of all the women that were members of our congregation who are in heaven waiting for us. And the problem with listing these names is I'm sure I will miss someone. But these are names that some of you will remember very, very well. Virginia Broaddus, Elsie House, Erie Huff, Thelma Mukaitis, Dora Hunter, Ruth Huntsman, Florence Lumley, Nedra Mowat, Clara Pauls, and Nellie Pauls, my dear friend Hazel Quigley, Audrey Minear, Mildred Juniper, Linda Lamoth, Amy Halls, Vi McKenzie, Barb Hickton, and I apologize for those that I have missed. So there was a statement years ago written by a mother called A Mother's Day Creed. Listen to these words. Here's what she says. "I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who was born of the promise to a virgin named Mary. I believe in the love Mary gave her son that caused her to follow him in his ministry and even stand at the cross. I believe in the love of all mothers and its importance in the lives of the children. Their love is stronger than steel, softer than down, and more resilient than a green sapling on the hillside. A mother's love closes wounds, melts disappointments, and enables the weakest child to stand tall and straight, even in the fields of adversity. I believe that this love, even at its best, is a shadow of the love of God. And I believe that one of the most beautiful sights in the world is a mother who lets this greater love flow through her child, blessing the world with the tenderness of her touch and the tears of joy. We thank God for mothers, and we thank mothers for helping us to know God better." A mother. To all of you mothers, what an amazing title. A few months ago, while I was picking up children at the school, this is not me, this is another woman who tells her story. She said, "A few months ago, when I was picking up the children at school, another mother I knew well rushed up to me. Her name was Emily, and she was fuming with indignation. She said, 'Do you know what you and I are?' And before I could answer, and I didn't really have one handy, she blurted out the reason for her question. It seemed she had just returned from renewing her driver's license at the county clerk's office. This was somewhere in the States. Asked by the woman recorder to state her occupation, Emily had hesitated, uncertain how to classify herself. 'What I mean is,' said the lady recorder, 'do you have a job or are you just a—'" "Of course I have a job," snapped Emily. "I'm a mother." The recorder said, "We don't list mother as an occupation. housewife covers it, said the recorder emphatically. These are not my words. I forgot all about her story until one day I found myself in the same situation, this time at our town hall. The clerk was obviously a career person, very poised, efficient, possessed of a high-sounding title like official interrogator, town registrar. What is your occupation? She asked. What made me say it, I don't know, but the simple words popped out of my mouth. What is my occupation? I am a research associate in the field of child development and human relations. The clerk paused, pen frozen in midair, and looked up as though she had not heard correctly. I repeated the title slowly. I am a research associate in the field of child development and human relations. Then I stared with wonder as my pronouncement was written, as the recorder wrote it, in black and white. And then the recorder said, "May I ask," said the clerk, "what just do you do in this field?" Coolly, without any trace of fluster in my voice, I heard myself reply, "I have a continuing program of research," what mother doesn't, "in the laboratory and in the field." Normally I would have said indoors and out. "I'm working for my masters," my whole family. "And already I have 4 credits, 4 daughters. Of course, the job is one of the most demanding in the humanities. Any mother care to disagree? And I often work 14 hours a day, 24 hours feels like it. But the job is more challenging than most run-of-the-mill careers, and the rewards are more of a satisfaction than just money." There was an increasing note of respect in the clerk's voice as she completed the form, stood up, and personally ushered me out to the driveway. And as I drove into our driveway, buoyed by my glamorous new career, I was greeted by my lab assistants, ages 13, 7, and 3. Upstairs, I could hear our new experimental model, 6 months old in the child development program, testing out a new vocal pattern. I felt triumphant. I had scored a beat on bureaucracy, and I had gone on the official records as someone more distinguished and indispensable to mankind than just a mother. But a mother is a distinguished, profound person that changes the lives of the world. Motherhood, what a glorious career, especially when there's a title on the door. And then the article says, "So send this to a mother, whether they stay at home or work or do both." And someone says, "Well, does that make grandmothers senior research associates in the field of child development and great-grandmothers executive senior research associates?" I think so. How many of you can remember, if your memory goes back that far, sitting on your mother's lap? Can anyone recall that? How many of you can remember a mother's hug? How many can remember a mother's tears? And how many of us can remember a mother's hug and embrace? A mother's lap. Nothing could stay or turn him aside while his mother's word lingered in his ear. No harm could fall on a head made sacred by her blessing, and no evil enter a heart filled with such holy love. And I suspect Mother's Day reminds us that we live every day as best we can as a holy person. And many times our mothers have led the way, showing us how to live in a profound way. So as was read today, as apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. I hope this is not inappropriate in the sense of humor, but I think it is kind of humorous. I came across this article, has some humor attached to it. What my mother taught me. Here's what my mother taught me. My mother taught me to appreciate a job well done. Mother said, I just finished cleaning, so if you kids are going to kill each other, do it outside. My mother taught me religion. You better pray that juice stain comes out of the carpet. That's probably happened quite a few times. My mother taught me logic. Why? Because I said so, that's why. Anybody ever heard that? My mother taught me irony. You keep laughing and I'll give you something to cry about. My mother taught me about the science of osmosis. Shut your mouth and eat your supper. My mother taught me about contortionism. Will you look at that dirt on the back of your neck? My mother taught me about stamina. You'll sit there until all that spinach is finished. That's just cruel. My mother taught me about weather. It looks as if a tornado swept through your room. And I think many of us can remember our moms saying things like that. My mother taught me how to solve physics problems. If I yelled because I saw a meteor coming towards you, would you listen then? My mother taught me about hypocrisy. If I told you once, I've told you a million times, don't exaggerate. And then my mother taught me about behavior modification. Stop acting like your father. And then lastly, my mother taught me about envy. There are millions of less fortunate children in this world who don't have a loving, wonderful mother like you do. And I think that's true. So there are incredible women, and we have so many incredible women in our congregation, all of the women that are part of us. We are so blessed by your holy lives. We're so blessed by your presence. We're just so blessed by who you are. Some of the mothers that we had are now in heaven. And yet, for some of us, mom who has passed away 20 years ago, 30 years ago, we still feel their presence. I said last week, I can still smell my mother's perfume. I can hear her laughter. That presence, even though she's not here, she's here. There is a presence, an ongoing presence. And I think God has done so well in helping us know and love our mothers in a profound spiritual way. So many of you may remember Dr. Eleanor Robinson, a tremendous woman of God, a wonderful physician. At her funeral, the following was read. And this is where you want to use your imagination. I'll try to read this so that you can picture her in your mind. I'm standing upon the seashore. A ship at my side spreads her white sails to the morning breeze and starts for the blue ocean. She is an object of beauty and strength. And I stand and watch her until at length she hangs like a speck of white cloud, just where the sea and the sky come down to mingle with each other. Then someone at my side says, there, she's gone. Gone where? I ask. Gone from my sight. That is all. She's just as large in the mast and hull as she was when she left my side, and just as able to bear her load of living freight to the place of destination. Her diminished size is in me, not in her. And just at that moment, when someone at my side says, there, she's gone, No, there are other eyes watching her coming, and other voices ready to take up the glad shout, "There she comes." A mother is often in harmony with an unseen order of things. Can't see that person, but know and love that person intimately. We have lists in Scripture. Paul, the apostle, was a man who liked to write lists. He talked about love. Love is patient, love is kind, and so forth. But if you'll allow me, I think there's another way of reading it this way. In many cases, mothers are patient. Their love is kind. They don't envy and they don't boast. They're not proud. They're not rude. They're not self-seeking. They're not easily angered. They never keep record of wrongs. But they delight never in evil, but they delight in the truth. They always protect. They always trust. They always hope. They persevere. And then Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit. But again, I'd like to change that somewhat. Not just the fruit of the Spirit, but mothers are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against that, there is no law. And then again, Paul said, and I can put mothers in, mothers are true, they're noble, they're right, they're pure, they're lovely, they're excellent, they're praiseworthy. And in the Scripture, it talks about a wife of noble character, and I think we could read it a mother of noble character. A mother of noble character, who can find? She's worth far more than rubies. She has confidence, and she brings good and not harm all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She gets up while it's still dark, and she provides food for her family. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for the tasks. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for they're clothed in scarlet. She's clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over her household, and she does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her. Many women do noble things, but you, mother, surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, beauty is fleeting, but a mother who loves the Lord is to be praised, and let her works be praised at the city gates. We thank you, moms, for everything you do. To all of you wonderful moms, he asked his mother, "Why are you crying?" And she smiled, even with her tears, and said, "Because I'm a woman." "I don't understand," he said. His mom just hugged him and said, "Nope, and you never will." Later, the little boy asked his father, "Why does mom cry?" And dad paused and said, "Well, women cry, and dads cry." And the little boy grew up and became a man, still wondering, "Well, why would women cry?" Finally, he put in a call to God. And when God got on the phone, the man said, "God, why do women cry?" And God said, "When I made women, I made them special. I made her shoulder strong enough to carry the weight of the world, yet gentle enough to provide comfort. I gave her an inner strength to endure childbirth and the rejection that many times come from her children. I gave her a hardness that allow her to keep going when everyone else gives up and take care of her family through sickness and fatigue without complaining. I gave her the sensitivity to love her children under any and all circumstances, even when her child has hurt her deeply. The same sensitivity helps her to make a child's scrapes feel better and shares in her teenager's anxieties and fears. I gave her strength to carry her husband through his faults and fashioned her from his rib to protect his heart. I gave her wisdom to a understanding that a man should never hurt his wife, but sometimes tests her strengths and her resolve to stand beside him unfalteringly. I gave her a tear to shed. It's hers exclusively to use whenever it's needed. It's not a weakness. It's a tear for all mankind. Some of you may remember the author, Robert Fulghum. He was well known for the tremendous book, All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. Fulghum was a pulpit minister in Washington, and he commented, "For 25 years of my life, the second Sunday in May was trouble. I was obliged in some way to address the subject of Mother's Day. The congregation gave me free rein in the pulpit, but Mother's Day, that's a tad different. One of the women in my congregation said to me, 'I'm bringing my mother to church this Sunday on Mother's Day. You can talk about anything you want, but it had better include mother and it better be good.' So no pressure there." That's the emphasis that we place on so many wonderful mothers. The young mother set her foot on the path of life. "Is the way long?" she asked. Her guide said, "Yeah, and the way's hard. You will be old before you reach the end of it, but the end will be better than the beginning." But the young mother was happy, and she could not believe that anything could be better than these years. So she played with her children and nurtured and cared for and protected them. The sun shone on them, and life was good. And the young mother cried, "Nothing will be lovelier than this." The night came, and the storm and the path was dark, and the children shook with fear and cold. And the mother drew them close and covered them with her mantle. And the children said, "Oh, mother, we're not afraid, for you are near and no harm can come." And the mother said, "This is better than the brightest day, for I have taught my children courage." The morning came and there was a hill ahead, and the children climbed and grew weary. And mother was weary, but at all times she said to her children, "A little patience and we will be there." So the children climbed. And when they reached the top, they said, "We could not have done it without you, mother." And the mother said, "This is a better day than the last, for my children have learned fortitude in the face of hardness. Yesterday I gave them courage. Today I have given them strength." The next day brought strange clouds that darkened the earth, clouds of war and hate and evil, and the children groped and stumbled. And the mother said, "Look up, lift up your eyes to the light." The children looked up and saw above the clouds an everlasting glory and guided them and brought them beyond the darkness. That night, the mother said, "This is the best day of all, for I have shown my children God." And the last days went on, and the weeks, and the months, and the years. And mother grew old, and she was little, and she was bent. But her children were tall and strong and walked with courage. And when children found life hard, and then they found her mother having a difficult time, they lifted her, for she was light as a feather, and at least they came to hill. And beyond the hill, they could see a shining road and golden gates flung wide. And mother said, "I have reached the end of my journey." And I know that the end is better than the beginning. For my children can now walk alone, and their children after them. And the children said, "You will always walk with us, Mother, even when you have gone through the gates." And they stood and watched her as she went on alone, and the gates closed after her. And they said, "We cannot see her, but she is still with us. A mother like ours is more than a memory. She is a living presence." May God bless you all, especially mothers. Amen.
Let's close our time together with our word of prayer. Lord, thank you for this opportunity we've had to spend time together and to consider you as we wait on your return. Thank you for those who have provided examples to us, for those for whom we can provide examples. We ask for your guidance into this week ahead, that we would be your lights in our community. We thank you so much for Jesus and for the gift of his life for ours. It's in his name we come to you. Everyone together said, Amen. Have a good week, everybody.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We are currently holding in-person services following provincial COVID-19 regulations. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV. Copyright 2011 by Biblica, Inc. Used by permission, all rights reserved, worldwide. You can find out more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.